This month, I believe, is the beginning of the best moment, as it were, for somebody's life. More importantly, I believe that that which you have forgotten about, that you asked the Lord at one time or the other in your life, you shall see it come to pass in Jesus' name. That amen is too weak. Come on, say amen. Amen. Thank you. Don't worry, we'll be out of here in no time. And today's Thanksgiving Sunday. For those of you that are fully aware of it, Thanksgiving Sunday is the day when we afford ourselves the opportunity to go to somebody's home and share lunch together. And I believe that as we do so today, joy and gladness shall be restored in our lives in Jesus' name. Now, let me just quickly introduce you again to the theme for this month. I believe you all have the bulletin with you. It talks about what we're doing this month. And, of course, it's on our website. It's on Facebook. It's on Twitter. If you can spend about 5 minutes reading through, you'll have an idea of what God is talking to us about in this month. Now, if you spend more than 5 minutes reading this, probably it's for you. If you spend less than 5 minutes, probably it's not for you. But one thing is certain, I know that somebody's hope will be restored in Jesus' name. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. Proverbs 13, verse 12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. When hope is crushed, the heart is equally crushed. But when a wish comes true, you are filled with joy. You'll be filled with joy today in Jesus' name. You see, Jesus, who we claim we're following, is a restorer of hope. He restores hope through compassion, which is driven by mercy and grace. No matter the situation that you may be in or surrounding you, Jesus can handle it. He is the helper of the helpless. It's only him that has the power to reverse the irreversible. It's also possible to make every tide that works against you and I to work for our good. Today, I believe we can have an encounter with this Jesus. I believe he's here with us and is knocking upon the door of your heart. And I can only ask you that as he knocks on your heart, open your heart to him and let him in. I'm not here to teach you religion. I'm not here to advocate any religious inclination, but I'm here to speak about him who has the word of life, and the life of him is the one that gives us abundant life. I've come to speak the word of him who was with God in the beginning, through whom all things were made. I've come to speak the word of him that resonates through time as being true. By simply following his teaching, at least from the Bible, we recognize that there's something good about this man called Jesus. And I pray that as we talk about him today, as we listen to him, hopelessness shall turn to hope in your life in the name of Jesus. Now, when we're talking about hope, you see it in the bulletin, you see it online, two things should come to mind. When we're talking about hope, hope is simply saying that you are fully convinced that regardless of what's happening around you, it will be well with you at the end. And when you're thinking about hope, two things are considered in hope. Your outlook, meaning how you see things, and the reality of things, that is the way they really are, not the way you want it, not the way you think it should be, but the way it is. So when you're talking about hope, you have an outlook, which is the way you perceive it. And then we talk about the reality, the way that it is. And when you think about those two words, your outlook and the reality, that will determine what type of hope that you have. Let me share a story of a woman in the Bible with you. It's in the book of Luke, chapter 7. Luke, chapter 7, from verse 11. Luke 7, 11 says, "And it came to pass the day after that he," talking about Jesus, "went to the city of Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people." Verse 12. "Now, when he came near to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much of the city was with her." Look at me for a moment. While Jesus was going to this city called Nain, he had his disciples with him, and he had a large crowd following him. And maybe they were there to see miracles or just to identify that we are followers of Christ. I don't know. But they were there with him. But in the opposite direction was equally a woman, a widow, whose son, the only son, has just died. She also had a crowd following her. The story of the woman, of this woman, who is facing a challenge in her life. The reality of the challenge that she had at that moment in time was that she was a widow. Being a widow means she has no husband. And now she was going to bury the only other man in her life, her son. Perhaps the society that she lived in, men were given preference at all times, be it in sharing land, getting jobs, and the rest. So for this woman, it was almost a double calamity. She lost her husband, her love, and now the son, who was a young man, probably the one bringing some things home, equally had died. Now, our outlook of life at that moment was very dark and very negative. Husband dead, now the only son is also dead, so she was all alone by herself. Who knows, perhaps she was thinking, who will marry me now, being all by myself? Or perhaps she was thinking, people might just think I'm a nightingale. Nightingale is somebody that kills people. Because my husband died, now my son is dead. People might start avoiding me that I'm carrying the body of death. She was thinking probably, how will I survive? Now, no husband, no son, no man. On that road, she had people who were following her, mourning with her and going to help her bury her son. So the reality of things was simply things were bad. Now, our outlook of life and the reality of what was on ground together were both grim and negative. She was in a state of hopelessness because what she was looking at and what was on ground matched in negativity. So she was feeling totally hopeless. On the road of hopelessness came Jesus. on that same road, Jesus was walking towards her. Verse 13 says, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. Now, while those who were walking with the woman must have felt a sense of sympathy for her, based on her negative reality, perhaps they tried to comfort her by telling her, don't worry. The Lord take it, or Lord give it, and Lord take it away. Perhaps they were telling her, don't cry anymore. The Lord will do something for you. They didn't understand her pain, but they were sympathizing with her. Perhaps they were trying to use the words of encouragement, saying, this which has happened is for the glory of God to shine. But for a woman who was in that position, no husband, no son, all by herself, all those words would be strange to her. So while she was crying going there, on that same road came the opposite direction, Jesus, who had compassion on her. Now, compassion is sympathy plus doing something to reverse what is wrong. Compassion is saying you acknowledge that something is wrong, but also you are doing something to change what is on ground. Indeed, the people could do nothing to help her, which was kind of obvious. But Jesus called. What no man can do, Jesus is able to do. Brethren, this morning, I have news for somebody here. You may be having the same feeling as this woman who was in a hopeless situation. The way she viewed things and the way things were in front of her, everything said, you are hopeless. But because you're here today, hearing the sound of my voice, Jesus is saying to you, weep not. He will reverse the irreversible in your life in the name of Jesus. Verse 14 says, he came and touched the bier, and the bier him stood still. They that bear him stood still, and he said, young man, I say to thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak and delivered him to his mother. The miracle that occurred here is in two parts. First, the outlook of the widow who was thinking before that it's over suddenly changed because the sun rose up. She didn't run away because if the dead rise, to rise, everybody takes over. This one didn't run anywhere because that's what she actually could have preferred, that boy coming back to life. But at the same time, her reality changed. Her hope was restored. She who was thinking about the loneliness and the rejection of the society in her life, suddenly God wiped away her shame and disgrace. For somebody here, because of what has occurred in your life, now or before, openly or secretly, that has put you in a path of hopelessness, this morning, I declare to you, your hope is being restored in Jesus' name. Because you're here, and I'm reading from the word of Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, you will experience restoration of hope in Jesus' name. Now, hopeless situation, which no man can do anything about, I still believe in my heart that miracles could occur. Look at John chapter 5. John chapter 5 from verse 1. This is a story that we're probably very familiar with. It's about the pool where an angel came to stay. But let me just read. From verse 1, it says, after this came the feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was in Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which in which is called in Hebrew tongue Bethsaida, whatever, having five pouches. Verse 3. In this laid a great multitude of impotent folks, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for a miracle, the waiting for the moving of the water. Verse 4 says, for an angel went down at a certain time of the season, into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then was first at the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatever disease that he had. Look at me for a moment again. The great multitude that stayed by that pool had faith that something could happen in their life. True or false? True. That's why they were all by that pool. Now, when it will happen, they do not know. But all they knew was like, at a certain time, it could be in the morning, it could be in the evening, it could be at night, it could be in the winter, it could be at summer, it could be at spring, it could be at any time. But at a certain time, an angel came into that pool, and the moment the water is troubled, whoever is smart enough, fast enough to jump into it, will go home happy. So these people had faith because they understood the principle that those who wait upon the Lord shall be renewed in strength. So they all had a positive outlook that all I need to do is to get into that pool first. Now, one thing that was common to everybody was that they all had this expectation that they will be the next person that will experience a miracle of the Lord. Is anybody here who believes that you'll be the next person to experience a miracle? If you're here, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. Now, the reality, they had an outlook that something will happen. But the reality on ground was that there was a certain time that that pool would be stirred. Now, because they did not know, they had no control of that reality. But all they could do was just look out and see if there's any change in their reality so they can jump into it. So, this was the case of everybody that was around that temple, around that pool. All they knew was something will happen. So, they were people of faith, just like you and I. Verse 5 now said, and a certain man was there who had an infirmity for how long? 38 years. 38 years. Verse 6, when Jesus saw him lie, he knew he had been now a long time in that case, and said unto him, will that be made whole? Verse 7. The impotent man answered him and said, sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled, when the reality changes, to put me into the pool, because everybody is God for us all, every man for himself. But while I'm coming, another one steps down before me. Folks, 38 years of waiting is a long time to wait. Even the father of faith, Abraham, waited how long? 25 years. This man had been waiting for a miracle for 38 years. Do you know he has been there even before Jesus was born? Are you aware of that? Jesus lived here 33 years, right? So the guy has been hopeful even before Jesus was born. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was still running around the place playing with dolls. So for him, 38 years is a long time. For those who are above 38, 38 years ago, the president of Nigeria is Shehu Shagari. For those who know who that is. 38 years ago, the president of the United States was Jimmy Carter. That's a long time, isn't it? So imagine somebody, for those who are not 38 years, can you imagine somebody as old as you are who has been in the same situation that long? He had faith to say, something can happen here for me. But just so happened that it did not happen. So for 38 long years, this man was in the place of miracles, but miracles always eluded him. This man, imagine, he had seen people come and people go with miracles, but he never experienced it. Each time he moved forward, it's as if somebody moved the goalpost backwards. It was a typical case of one step forward for him, two steps backward. But what is strange about this, I thought, this man did not leave that place. 38 years. That is long. I mean, like, seriously long time to be in that temple. Do you know that he had become a professional observer of other people's miracle? As a matter of fact, if he was a lady, he would be a professional bridesmaid, because all the friends are getting married and it's always bridesmaid. Or might be a guy who has become a professional groomsman, because all your friends are getting married and you are still walking around. But that shall be reversed in Jesus' name. It might be your friends are prospering and you're going to celebrate their prosperity, but you, nothing is happening. You are doing what they are doing. But they are having breakthrough. You are having a breakout. But you know what? Lost hope shall be founded in the name of Jesus. What I find interesting about this, like, Jesus saw him. Jesus was not born when that guy got there. Saw him. And he knew immediately he had been there in that case for a long time. Now, how many people were around that pool that had issues? How many? Many. But Jesus singled him out that you've been here for too long. There's somebody here today. You've been in that case for too long. Jesus has singled you out. And you shall receive your miracle today in the name of Jesus. The difference between the people around that man and Jesus was like, while those people knew his challenges, his shortcoming, and discussed with him, and said, sorry, oh, don't worry, you know what, we'll help you. And tried to encourage him, but when the chips were down, they forgot about him. Jesus did not just sympathize with him, he had compassion on him. While the people were concerned about their individual self, Jesus was concerned about him. This man, when Jesus asked him, will thou be made whole? His response was enough to tell you he has lost hope. He said, look, sir, there's nobody to help me. Even when I try to make a move, somebody who is smarter, somebody who is prettier, somebody who is richer, somebody that's overconnected always seems to get it before I get it. He spoke from the place of lost hope. I pray, I fast, I burn candles in all colors, but still no progress. Today, for everyone who's in the place of faith and yet receive no miracles, that lost hope is about to be founded in the name of Jesus. Others are doing it the way they say. You pray for your husband. You pray for your wife. You pray for your children. Rather than things coming together, separated. And you wonder, am I not praying too? God has heard your prayer. And the answer will be manifested before you shortly in the name of Jesus. This man didn't have enough strength to help himself, but Jesus had enough strength to help him. Jesus spoke to him and said, hey, you know what? Rise up. Take up your mat and walk. And immediately, the Bible said, the man stood up, took off his mat, and he walked. This is what I believe. Jesus is merciful. He is compassionate on everyone. He knows where you are. He knows where you're located. He knows the level of hope. He knows the hope that's been crushed in you. But this thing I know, no man might be able to help you, but he can help you. He knows what to say. He knows what to do. He knows who he will send to you to make things turn around. And things will turn around for you in the name of Jesus. Now, Jesus does not just speak. He had compassion. And when we're talking about hope in Christ Jesus, we're talking about compassion also. Compassion is not just pitying. But compassion is saying, okay, the outlook there, there's something wrong with that outlook. There's something wrong with that reality. What can I do to change this person's outlook? What can I do to change this person's reality? And the moment you do that, what you're simply doing, or what Jesus did, was to bring joy back to somebody. The woman was hopeless. Did she get joy at the end of the day? Did she get joy? Say with me, church. Now, how about this man who had been there for 38 years? Was there any joy? Lots of joy. In fact, his own joy, if you read further down that scripture, caused controversy. I pray that God will give you a miracle that will cause good controversy. But don't be in a hurry to say amen. Oh. The controversy that he caused was that the jokers who were there saying that this is Sabbath day, don't carry your mat and walk. But what I find a little bit disturbing there is a man who had been impotent, sick for 38 years. Finally, you see him walking around and you're asking him, why are you carrying your mat on this day? A man who finally has been emancipated and you are angry with him for breaking God's law. Which law? But that's the story for another day. All I know is that hope is going to be restored for somebody here in the name of Jesus. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. Now, when we talk about faith being the substance of things hoped for, we're saying your outlook is what you see. Your reality is what is in front of you. Faith is what takes you from what is current to where you are going. So without faith, you are going nowhere. If you are just wishing that something will happen and you do nothing about it, it's called fantasy. If you're wishing that something will happen and you take the step to make it happen, your reality will change before you. Has anybody ever read where Jesus said, you will say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. And don't doubt in your mind that whatever you say shall come to you. Jesus is simply telling to you that whatever you desire, and I pray that your desire shall be what God desires for you. If you do not doubt and you take the action you need to take, you will accomplish it. Hope being restored this month, starting from this moment, I believe God is just simply saying to you and I, there's a need for us to change our outlook, the way we see things. Let's begin to see the way God sees it, praying that God, let me see the way you see it. And then have this confidence within you that it is going to be okay at the end of the day. If you have a pen, I want to write down this quotation. It says, are you ready? Oh, okay, it's up on the screen. Retain faith that you will prevail in the end, regardless of the difficulties. Retain faith that you will prevail in the end, regardless of the difficulties. And at the same time, confront the most brutal facts of your current realities. Retain faith that you'll prevail in the end, regardless of your current difficulties, and at the same time, confront the most brutal fact of your reality. What this is saying, and what this simply means, is that while you have faith that it's going to be okay no matter what, you cannot deny the fact that there are things in front of you that you need to deal with. You cannot deny the fact that there are challenges in front of you that you need to overcome. Being in school, it's that easy. You don't go to school with the intention not to graduate. But the moment you go into it, especially if you're going through a four-year college thing, when you're going into it, yes, I want to become this, I want to become that, but when you begin to see the pressure of the course, things you need to do, the papers you need to write, that reality is telling them, man, this is difficult. How many people decide that, say, I'm not doing anymore? You're not a loser. You keep on pushing on. You have the faith that I'm going to accomplish this task, but the confronting the reality of what's in front of you is simply saying, this is here. Yes, it is here, but I will go forward. I was talking to somebody the other day. I said, I am sick. For about 2 weeks, I've been down and I've been wondering what happened to me. But I said, I can't call you and tell that, oh, I'm very strong. Because I'm not strong. I was sick. But then I said, no, let the weak say I'm strong. I said, that's why I'm saying I'm sick. But now I can say I'm strong. But based on the medication, based on the medical advice I was given, my focus was like, I'll be strong enough to stand before God's people again. But the reality was like my head was going up and down. My throat was like, it's on fire. It's like somebody just squeezed me like a cloth. The whole muscle, I said, I'm not old enough to have arthritis. What's going on? But the reality was that it was bad, but I focused that I'm going to be okay. Because the word of God says, let the weak say, I'm strong, by his stripes I've been healed. But I did what I had to do. I did not deny the fire and say, because he will heal me, I'll do nothing and lie down in bed and wait for an angel to come and touch me. No. At least my faith is not like that. Some of you have faith and wait for angels. My own is not like that. I operate and say, let me do this one so I can move on. So what is the totality of what I'm saying to you folks this morning? There's hope. And your hope is being restored. It's not looking for any other thing other than you asking for Jesus to help. When hope is crushed, the heart is crushed. But when a wish comes true, you'll be filled with joy. The action of Jesus to the widow, dealing with the hopelessness, and the man who had been dealing with lost hope, was a demonstration of mercy and grace. The mercy of Jesus said no to death of that woman's son. The mercy of Jesus said no to the darkness that was enveloping the heart of that man who has been there for too long, 38 years, all faith and no miracle. Jesus restored hope. He made the wishes of those people come true, and it brought joy into their hearts. Today, joy is available for you and I, and we'll experience that joy indeed in the name of Jesus. Today, let me assure you, I know many of you are born again, you believe in the Lord Jesus, that's good, and you know Jesus can do all things, though you've never met him before. But it's time for you to truly experience him. I believe in my own heart of hearts that he is here with us this morning. And his mercy is saying no to hopelessness. Mercy is saying, he may be guilty, but I'm acquainting him. I'm saying he's not guilty. Mercy is saying, yes, we should sentence him. But I'm saying, you know what? I'm going to commute this sentence. Mercy is saying, you're right, even though you're wrong. And I believe Jesus is the answer to whatever problem that could be in the house. Let us pray. Now, you may not have any case of hopelessness in your life. Praise God for that. You might be a person of faith and everything is moving fast for you. As you pray, God is answering you. Praise the Lord for you. But for one or two people in here who understand what hopelessness means, for one or two people here who have losing hope or have lost hope because they stayed within the confines of the rules and yet nothing good is happening. Think of this man, 38 years. Yours might just be 38 months. It might be 38 days. It might be 38 weeks. It might be 38 seconds, 38 minutes, 38 hours. But whatever it is, you're losing hope and you're losing it very fast. You begin to question your own faith. You begin to question even this thing about Jesus himself. That darkness is about to be illuminated. If you can talk to him, talk to him. If there's nothing for you to say, why not just wait on him? For he can see you. He's meeting up with you on that path. He knows you've been in that case for too long, and I believe that he wants to do something. Mercy says no, I'm not gonna let you go, I'm not gonna let you sleep away, you don't have to be afraid. Mercy says no, sin will never take control. Life and death stood face to face.
Darkness tries to steal my heart away.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Mercy says no.
My brother, my sister, mercy is saying no on your behalf.
Mercy, mercy says no. I'm not gonna let you go.
He's not gonna let you go.
I'm not gonna let you sleep.
You're not
away.
Slipping away into darkness. No.
You don't have to be afraid.
Mercy says no.
Mercy says no. Sin will never take control.
Life and death stood face to face.
Life and death stood face to face. Darkness tries to steal my heart away.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Mercy says no.
For somebody here, even Jesus has said no to darkness. He has said no to hopelessness in your life. His mercy is upon you right now. He's setting you free. Receive that liberty from him. Receive it. Let that outlook change. Let that outlook change. You are in his hands. You are in his hands.
Mercy says no.
It doesn't matter how long it has been, but it can reverse the irreversible. It can make every tide against you begin to work for your good.
Life and death stood face to face. Darkness tries to steal my heart away. Thank you, Jesus. Mercy says no.
Miracle walker. You are the miracle walker. Come and do a miracle
a miracle today. Come and do a miracle, a miracle today.
Miracle worker.
Miracle worker.
I say you are the.
You are the miracle worker.
In my life.
Come and do a miracle. A miracle today. Come and do a miracle. A miracle today.
Hope restorer, you are my miracle worker. Come and do a miracle. Restore my hope today. Come and do a miracle. Restore my hope today. Hope restorer. Hope restorer, you are the miracle walker.
You are the miracle walker.
Come and do. Come and do a miracle. Restore my hope today. Come and do a miracle. Restore my hope today. Miracle worker, miracle worker. You are the miracle worker.
You are the miracle worker.
Come and do.
Come and do a miracle. A miracle today.
Come and do a miracle. Miracle today.
Destiny changer.
Destiny changer.
I say
you are the destiny changer.
Oh Lord.
Destiny.
You are the destiny changer. Come and do.
Come and do my destiny. My destiny today. Come and change my destiny. My destiny today.
Oh, my destiny changer.
Destiny changer.
Is anybody saying change my destiny from hopelessness to hopefulness? My lost hope to hope fulfilled?
Come and change my destiny.
My destiny today. Come and change my destiny. My destiny today.
I have no power of my own. Holy Spirit.
I have no power of my own.
I confess to you.
I confess to you.
Holy Spirit.
I have no power of my own.
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 I have no power of my own. I confess to you, Holy Spirit, help me. I have no
power of my own. To everyone who's powerless here, say, I have no power of my own.
I have no
power of my own. Consigning this one, I have no power.
I have no power of my own.
I confess, Holy Spirit, help me.
I confess. Holy Spirit, help me, I have no power of my own.
Yes, we confess we have no power of our own, Holy Spirit, and it's you we're looking up to today. I pray that shall restore hope from the top to the bottom, from the bottom way to the top again, in the name of Jesus. For everyone who cannot speak, Lord Almighty, speak on their behalf. For everyone who cannot act, act on their behalf, O Lord Almighty, in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord Almighty, we give thanks unto you. We bless your name. Thank you that hope are being restored. Thank you that you're doing that work of miracle in the life of your children. We say, let your name be glorified. Let your name be highly exalted. We thank you and we bless your holy name. In Jesus' excellent name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Let somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, put your hands together for the Lord. Come on. Put some hope in the house. Put some hope in the house. Don't worry. We're out of here in a few moments. We're having today's Thanksgiving Sunday. And as you know, it's a day that we go to a member's house. We all bring something to eat and something to drink, and we have a great time together. We're going to Sister Tokumbo's house, and that's our address there. If you have to write it down, if you don't know our place, please write down that address. And it might be a good idea that you just go along with her when she's going, or if you know her place, what's the code for the gate again? No, I don't see no code up there. The code for our gate is 3540. Okay, 3540. Okay, she's living in the gated community. So it's better you go with her when she's leaving. Oh, it's on the bulletin. Okay, it's on the bulletin. So we'll just go right from here and let's just have something to eat, something to drink. If you have no food, come. There's no food. If you have no stomach, stomach shall be provided. If you have no teeth, teeth shall be provided too. So please, let's come together and let's have a good time together. And God bless you even as to do so in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Okay, some people are celebrating their birthdays in the month of April, wedding anniversary, and what have you. So who are those who are celebrating birthdays in this month? I believe it's on the bulletin. All right. Who's not on the bulletin? There you go. All right, stand up, stand up. All those who are celebrating birthdays this month, just rise up on your feet, please. All those who are celebrating birthdays, only one? Oh, yeah, I know. And there's one out there, too. I believe there's one wedding anniversary here. Okay. Abby? Am I wrong? How many times are you celebrating that wedding anniversary? Oh, okay. I was going to worry about you. Oh, you've canceled it. All right. Birthdays. Okay, my son is also celebrating his birthday on the 6th. So I'm also standing up also. So 15th? 15th? All right. I still know. 6th? 24th? Who else? Floribeth, 11th. Twelfth. All right. Okay, let's just stretch our hands towards these people. Come on, say a word of hope over their lives. They're celebrating their birthdays again. I believe God had hope in them. So just stretch your hands towards them and just say a word of prayer over them. For Ashley, for Brother Sheyi, for Brother Tony, for Floribeth, for Tolu Alasha, my son. Just say a word of prayer over their lives. Ask that the Lord indeed will increase them, improve their life. Give them hope, even in the place of hopelessness, indeed in the name of Jesus. Yes, yes. Father, Lord Almighty, we give thanks unto you. We bless your name. Thank you for these lives. Thank you that we can celebrate them again this month. We know that with you, nothing shall be impossible. Thank you, Father, Lord Almighty God. In Jesus' excellent name, we have prayed. Come on, put your hands together for them. Put your hands together for them. Hallelujah. So happy birthday to you once again. Happy birthday, sir. Happy birthday, ma'am. God bless you real good in Jesus' name. Just before we do Thanksgiving and then we close, anybody has a testimony, you have something you want to share with us to encourage us, just give us hope that God is still good. Anybody? Anybody? No?